has dissolved, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I almost got rid of this cold and all this cough. This one's been hanging on to me for been 2 weeks since I've had this thing, and I've been taking all this pills and stuff that Victor gave me and trying to fight the way through that thing. And today I woke up, I think maybe I'm just about out of the woods on this one. I appreciate you joining us. Busy, a lot of stuff I'd like to share with you today. You know, I don't know what you guys are like. This program really sets my day. It really sets my day. And I find it the things that we talk about on here, I meditate on, the rest of the day. And the more you meditate on things, the more your meditation, I don't mean meditation. The more you think about stuff, it ends up taking you down many, many rabbit holes. And down every rabbit hole, you find another nugget. And down that nugget is another question. And it's the way it's supposed to be. I had a conversation last night with my brother, who's he's been on the show before, missionary over in Azerbaijan. And he called me last night at 11:15. It kind of woke me up out of my dead sleep, you know. I just hadn't spoken. We hadn't spoken in a while. And we were just having casual conversation, 11:15 at night. And he tried to imagine, because he hasn't been in the States for a couple of years. He was trying to imagine, more than a couple of years, I'm sorry. I tried to get him to imagine what's going on in America as compared to what's going on in that, what we would call probably a more simplistic life from where he's living there. I think it's just southeast of Iraq. And him trying to get an understanding of what's going on in America. How do you explain to somebody the foolishness that's going on in America? And I came to the conclusion, kind of simplified it at the end, that really it's just we have too much, even though we're working all the time, really we got a lot of leisure time. We got life really, really easy here. And as a result, because our lives aren't full of great struggles, our appreciation of the scriptures is a little bit different than what the appreciation of the scriptures are in other lands. I was talking to Cal Zastro yesterday, one of my buddies who goes to China regularly. In fact, he's getting ready to go to China again this week, going to go in India. I was thinking about all that when Randy. And I don't think that we as Americans, we get in any real concept or understanding really of what the world might be like outside of America. Outside, what it must be like to be a Christian and live in Iran, or Christian live in Iraq, or as my brother said, he's allowed to be a Christian in Azerbaijan, but you're not allowed to proselytize, and things are a little bit backward in some ways. And we tend to think that America is the hub of Christianity. And we think of our worldview and we look at what's going on in the world. You say, well, man, things are getting darker and darker and darker. We talked about that yesterday with Randy, reality is, we Americans, we really don't have much of a feel for what's going on in the world. We have a feel for what's going on in America. We got our mass media, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. So really, the idea, I was thinking of this. Bear with me a second, just kind of stream of consciousness. I've been sawing some wood, chainsawing some wood, splitting some wood, getting ready for winter around here. Everybody burns fires here in Ohio in the winter. And I thought, I was doing it to you the other day, and I flashed back to my dad. When my dad, we used to come home from church on Sunday afternoon, and my dad would say, boys, we're going to cut some wood today. And so we had what was called an old saw buck. I don't know if you guys remember them or not. They were wooden saw bucks. And we had this great big It was about 7 foot long, big old saw. Dad would be on one end of it, and I'd be on the other. And we would saw those logs back and forth. And that we're only talking about the 1960s and how long ago that was that we were – nobody had chainsaws. If you had chainsaws, we couldn't afford one. We were on the saw buck back and forth, back and forth. And, boy, there's still – you know, there's still people in the world that are using saw bucks. We lose sight of that. We live in this modern age where everything's right at our fingertips. And just, golly, it's so hard for we Americans to get a great perspective on what's going on. A lot of stuff I want to share with you today. Mark Trump and Joseph Allen are in town. Praise God. They came in yesterday, and they're helping get some stuff done up at Sky High. Again, some of you, if you're capable this weekend, we could use three or four of you that, if you're close, to come in, help us put on a new roof and do some other little odds and ends around that. So good fellowship. We'll feed you, take care of you. We'd love for you to be able to come with us. And don't forget, Jody Walden is coming here on November 16th. And I'd sure like for that to be kind of a gathering of eagles, where as many of you as you can come and be part of it. Jody's going to do a training session. We're going to have a good fellowship. We're going to have some good food afterwards. And then on Sunday the 17th, he's going to go to church at Speaker Mike Spaulding's Calvary Chapel in Lima, Ohio. So I'd love for you all to become part of it. And I always try to warn everybody that our schedule softens a little bit around the holidays. Once we start to get into Thanksgiving and Christmas, people don't want to hear about fighting in the war. They want to hear about ho-hos and ding-dongs. So as our schedule looks kind of soft, that's the reason it is. It's actually a good time for Michelle and I to catch our breath as well. But if you want to do something after the first year, we'd love to come and do some type of boot camp or whatever where you folks are. Just take somebody out there to put a flag in the ground, say, we'll have one here, coach, and we'll be happy to show up there. So throw that out to anybody that might be interested. I've got, where do I want to start here today? Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dive into where I want to head? I guess that means yes. No, I spent all day yesterday. Hey, Jared or Connor, get the first thing up there, Foxhole. Get that first thing up. Yesterday, I spent all day at, how do I say this? At a mediation hearing for a case that we have. I'm trying to civil case. I couldn't come up with the word. I'm sorry. The civil case that we have going on with New Beginnings Church, and when the strippers came to our church, this case goes back 4 years. Yesterday we had a mediation hearing. In other words, we're trying to come to a conclusion outside of the courtroom. And before I go any further, I want to thank Rick Nelson and not Ricky Nelson, the guitar player, but Rick Nelson and Tom Condit, who are the attorneys who have been fighting this case for us for 4 years, really without any funding at all. And I'm going to launch a funding initiative here because yesterday, the bottom line was this. When we tried to come to this type of settlement without going to court, and the other side, they would not bend over, I'm just telling you the truth, they wouldn't bend over their right to be nude publicly. It's a crime, you know. It is still a crime, despite what they will tell you. For a woman to have bare breasts in public is a crime. Can't do it. It's against the Ohio Revised Code. And for some reason, law enforcement officials are afraid to take it on because they think they're going to end up in court because somebody's going to sue to be able to. Our law enforcement always on the side of the devil. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that. So I want to show you this brief 4-minute video for those of you who may not be aware of it. Here, this was 4 years ago. This started out when we, Pastor Bill Dunphy and the folks at New Beginnings Church, began to do a Friday night vigil outside a local strip club, out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country, out in the middle of nowhere. And the men began to go out there Friday nights and interact with the men going in and try to get them to stop going into the foxhole. And then after about 3.5 years, 4 years, I can't remember how long it took, the strippers came to church. That's right. The strippers came and began to protest outside the church. And here's a little 4-minute video of that whole thing that went on for Well, it went on for quite a while. Go ahead and play that up there for us real quickly, Connor, if you can. If I can find it here on my
protest,
screen.
Protest pitting scripture against stripper. In one corner of Ohio, a picket by a church against the Foxhole Strip Club is drawing a counter-protest. Workers at the club showing up outside the church with their own message.
This is America. I should be able to walk into my job without having some maniac screaming my name.
The church and the people in the church love the people. We do not love.
I can't hear on my end. I don't know about everybody else.
Because it's against what the Bible commands us.
A standoff. The club's owner says he will retreat if the church does. But New Beginnings Ministries says they have God on their side. For now, a war of words scrawled on poster board.
You all want to come in to services?
Pastor Bill Dunphy greets protesters outside. Inside his church, strong words from the pulpit.
The hope for America is the Church of Jesus Christ. Don't forget it. The hope of strippers is the Church of Jesus Christ.
Dunphy has offered to give strippers money to support themselves if they leave the club, but its owner questions the tactics of the church.
They claim that they're there to try to save people. However, all they're doing is they're destroying the lives of people.
Yeah, I can't hear anything either, Coach.
Yeah, you can pull that down. For some reason, we can't hear this. So,
seems to be giving up ground.
Yeah, let's just pause. That's about it. So just so you guys get a flavor for what's going on. So here's what we found out. We filed a lawsuit about 4 years ago. Folks, you can't see it here. These women take off their tops and they parade around while families are going in and out of church. And 4 years battle we've had going on. The police, of course, would not arrest them. We ended up in a civil case, and that's where we were yesterday, trying to come to a resolution here with them. And so we're going to go to trial. We're going to go to a jury trial. Now, just kind of curious what your reaction might be out there. How do you think a jury is going to respond to witnesses who get on the witness stand and admit that they came topless to church? I think it's, I don't know what you guys think. I think it's contributing to the delinquency of a minor, certainly. Just your reaction. What do you think about this? Even though this is 4 years old, how do you pick a jury of your peers on this one? Somebody help me out here real quick. Somebody say something. I don't know whether it's on my, is everybody hearing but me?
Coach, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you, man.
I feel like and that video,
I can hear you now.
Well, I'll respond with a question. I don't know what the delinquency of a minor means, because we're seeing that everywhere. As recent as the male tranny opening his legs within the last few days in front of the library reading, showing the kids his junk. So this is total selective on who hows and whys of charging with delinquency of a minor. I mean, they threatened Alan Hoyle with that.
Yes, they
so
did.
When is it done? When is it charged?
We asked the prosecutors this simple question. They said that the cops tried to tell us that nudity is, men can take off their shirts, women can take their shirts off, blah, 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 blah. I said, so you mean to tell me I can take my wife, my two daughters, and we can go down to the local public school and they can strip off and go in the principal's office and walk around the halls with their breasts exposed? Well, it's ridiculous on its face, is it not? And see, this kind of stuff goes on because we do not fight back very well. You know what the rest of the community said about Pastor Bill and those guys? Well, they deserved it. They're picking at them. They deserve whatever happens. And now we look, Bobby, how far we've gone from 4 years of these strippers coming to church topless, and what's going on in our public libraries with transgenderism. Folks, anybody connect the dots here? Listen, I don't want to get buried on this, but I believe that this is a case. It's worth fighting for, man. This is worth putting a flag in the ground and standing and fighting. I think the public opinion will be so much on our side. I think the average guy who goes to a strip joint doesn't think girls should go to church without the tops. That's what I think. So let the games begin. So I just want you to know that's what I was dealing with yesterday.
Yeah, let the jury be full of women who are married and then propose that question. Oh, you deserve it. Well, then when your husband goes there and your daughter's up there, then, you know, you deserve this because you tolerate this. And well, so I pray that it's a loaded jury of women who are married.
Well, you know what Cal Zastrow told me he was worried about? He's worried about being a jury of people who've been wounded by church. He said, boy, he said, you've got to be as careful as that one. So remember I talked the other day about a jury of our peers? Who are your peers? I'm going to tell you, folks, most people I walk around with are not my peers. They're not my peers. And for them,
for me to stand in judgment
of them when they do not share my values and don't understand things of the Spirit, for them to be able to do that, how do we get beyond it? Hey, Roger, how do we get beyond this? How do we get to the point where I'm before a jury of my peers, it's like-minded Christians who are Bible believers and understand the importance of biblical principles in the conduct of a civil society. Why should I, as a Christian man, go stand before a jury of unbelievers or non-believers or whatever? Those are not my peers. You got an answer for me, Roger, on that one?
Well, I don't have a quick answer for that, but I do have a bigger question. My strip club days might have been in my fraternity days, but I can't remember. But the bigger question I have before I answer that intellectual question is, what man would want to go see these women anywhere? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be harsh, but my goodness.
Yeah.
And I went to that strip club with you, and I always thought you go to those places because there's some type of attraction.
Yeah, well, my question is this. Whatever happened to Shane? Yeah. Whatever happened to Shane? Can you imagine?
Dave, one of the problems we're seeing up here is that our form of government is only meant for religious people.
That's right. Yeah, John Adams said that, right? Wasn't it John Adams said that our Constitution made for religious people is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other? So that's where we are. How do you go sit on a jury? How do you go stand before a jury of your peers when they don't understand? They don't. Which, by the way, brings me to something. This is, folks, this is unbelievable. Jared, pull up. I'm sorry, Connor, pull up my Facebook page. I got to show you something. I'm going to show you play you a brief clip of Kanye West, because we spoke about that yesterday. And this thing popped up in my video feed yesterday, and I watched it. Actually, the longer version of it is about 10 minutes, and they have a choir around him. It's like they're in an airplane and yada, yada, yada. And the choir sings, and Kanye sings a little bit. And then this guy asks Kanye questions between songs. And so what this little is, this is a 4-minute clip of some of the questions that were asked of Kanye West. Now, remember yesterday we were talking about whether or not Kanye West is really saved. Is he really saved? And I come back and ask this, is your pastor really saved? Is Kanye more lost than your pastor? And I talked about how, yesterday that people were making fun of Kanye's conversion. It's fake. It's phony. He's just doing it for money. He's infiltrating into the Christian system. And hey, folks, the devil's already so deeply entrenched in the Christian system. I don't know why we think that he has to use Conway to come in and entrench us even more. And Kanye went on and on and on. I've watched several things of him because I've been fascinated by it. But I want you to watch this video from yesterday where you're seeing 4 minutes. Remember, this is a bit larger video. About 12 minutes long with a lot of singing and everything going on. And in the midst of it, they would stop and then they would ask Kanye questions. And I, listen, this is me talking now. I listened to Conway and I watched his eyes because the eyes are the window of the soul. And I believe this brother's conversion is real. I want you to watch this and tell me if you think the average person that you run into on the street could give the responses that Kanye West gives if he were not led by the Holy Spirit. And do you think that God, the Spirit of God, is not powerful enough to rescue from what somebody tell me, from the guttermost to the uttermost? You think that you were so righteous and holy that you were more deserving to be saved than Kanye? Really believe? Do you really, really believe that? And I was blown away by this 4-minute segment. And I'd see if Connor, I don't have my right page up there. See if we have that thing up there. 2 million people have watched this. I made this point again yesterday. Kanye West, even if he is a fraud, is advancing the kingdom of God. Jesus and comes out of his mouth like, come on now, stay with me a minute. How many people are you around with? You're around, and when you walk out with them and you're talking to them, that they're talking Jesus, and they're talking about the Bible, and they're quoting the Bible, and they're doing biblical principles. Kanye's come out, he's speaking against pornography. He's speaking against abortion. He's speaking against all this that's devil music. It's unbelievable, and yet still we as Christians, sorry, we think a guy standing in the pulpit who looks all cleaned up is a better Christian than Kanye, because Kanye was really lost. And my solution to that is many of those guys standing in the pulpits have never truly been born again of God. They've not been called into the pulpits. They were called by their mama. Maybe their mama was a pastor, or maybe their daddy was a pastor, and now they're a pastor. And they couldn't, in my humble, not so humble opinion, they couldn't carry Kanye West's jock. Let's listen to this 4 minutes, see what you think. Hang on.
Amen.
Too many people. 2 million people. 2 million people have already watched it. Stop a minute. Stop just a minute. I want to ask you a very, very serious question. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. If I stacked you up against a corner and I put a gun to your head and I said, I'm going to pull this trigger unless you could name 10 people that you led to Christ, how many of you would survive? The average person right now listening to this, how many people have you led to Jesus? Not your pastor. You personally have led to Jesus. Now, Kanye West, 2 million people watched this video right here. 2 million. This was done 2 days ago. 2 million people have watched this video. The people are fascinated. What's going on with Kanye? 2 million have watched. What if only one out of every five gets it and receives Jesus? What's the math on that, brothers? What if only one? Well, no, let's go less. One out of every 10. No. One out of every 20. What if one out of every 20 people watching this video have a spiritual experience with Jesus because of Kanye West? What would that be? See, one out of 20 would be 5%. Wouldn't that be like 100,000? Wouldn't that be like 100,000? I think. If you had the opportunity to impact 100,000 people for the cause of Christ, here's what I want you to do. Listen to, people say it's fake. Coach, it's fake. I'm going to tell you something. This brother does not, you can't fake knowing what he knows. Go ahead and play it, Jerry or Connor. What's wrong with our sound again? Hang on. Freeze that. I didn't hear the last video, Connor, and I'm not hearing this one. What's going on? And this video won't be very good if we can't hear it. Or is it just happening on my end?
No, I can't hear it either, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Serge.
Dave, while they're trying to fix that video real quick, I think of all the men's gatherings that I've been to. I think of the camping trips I've been to. And there is more biblical Christian conversation coming out of Kanye's mouth than I've heard at any of those places combined.
Roger, not only he's talking about, I think, deep spiritual issues and applying the spiritual issues to your own life. This is just cotton candy he's talking about here. So let's give him a chance here, and let's hear Kanye out. Go ahead.
I don't like going out at nighttime. I like being at home with my family at night as much as possible.
So what is that night? What do you do?
We go we'll eat dinner and we'll play with the kids, and then we'll put the kids to bed, and then we go to bed. And then my wife watches Dateline.
So she watches Dateline, yeah. And you're not really watching anything, you're just straight to sleep.
I read the Bible.
For real?
Yes.
Seriously, you sit and read the Bible?
Yes.
What is, tell me this, I've got 3 kids, you've got 4 kids. Would you recommend my wife and I going for a 4th?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
The richest thing that you can have is as many children as possible.
So are you saying you would roll for a 5th?
For 7.
Shut up, you want 7 kids.
Yes.
And have you and Kim talked about this? This is something that you'd like to do?
Yes.
7 children?
Yes.
So beautiful. I need to talk to my wife. That's for sure.
Look at the joy in his eyes. Folks, this is unbelievable. Because I'm telling you, the average Christian person that you are sitting beside in your church cannot articulate what Kanye West is about to articulate. Go ahead, Connor.
I don't believe it. I don't believe the reawakening of that Kanye is saying he's having. I don't believe, if I look at the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life, I don't believe that this can be as night and day as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
that you would be one day living your life in one way and now saying everything is for this. I'm not sure I believe it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say when you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that those are 2 different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep. And this is the awakening.
Wow, huh? Wow, that is so profound. What he just said, folks, you cannot fake that. Now, here's where I think we are with this whole Kanye West thing. Rather than us sit around right now and argue over whether or not he's really saved or not saved, or he's just doing it to sell more albums or to make more money, why don't we turn our prayers towards uplifting and upholding Kanye West in this new transformation in his life, and pray that God will surround him with godly people who will teach him the right thing and direct him? Because all of us know this, after, at least for me, when I was first born again, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to, I would go around and I would try to explain to people what had happened to my friends. I would try to explain to my friends and my family what had happened to me. And they couldn't get it. Some of them still can't get it. Still can't. And there are people today who, I don't know what they think about me. I don't know what they really, when they get alone and they're out sitting and fishing or doing whatever, and my name comes up, I don't even know. But you know what? I'm awake. Kanye's awake. Now, what do we do with his awakeness?
And praise be to God.
And as Christians, what should be our approach to Kanye West? Do you understand what a gift he could be to Christianity if we uphold him and keep him firmly grounded? Somebody come on in.
Well, Coach.
Coach, I got to jump in. I really don't know this guy personally. I've seen some of the videos. I did a little reading on him. I'll leave that as that. But the fact that this guy's now got an album called Jesus is King. A brother, most Christian contemporary artists wouldn't dare put that on their label. I mean, I'm just saying.
Of course not. Of course not.
Well, Coach, we're seeing an example of true repentance right here. Most people in church, most pastors don't even know what repentance is. They don't expect it. They don't preach it. They don't see it. They don't live it. He is living repentance, and that's what it is. It's old things have passed away. New things have come.
But we don't understand it, do we, Robert? We don't really understand that gospel. I was watching a little video of him the other day talking about his pornography addiction. Do you know any man that would do that? Do you know any man who would be at his status in the world with all the worldly things? Do you know any man who would talk openly about that? He is talking openly about his pornography addiction. You say, are you kidding me? He sleeps with Kim Kardashian. And he's looking up porn. He said it was exposed to him when he was 5 years old. And that spirit got in him. And he fell with it and struggled with it his whole life. And now he's getting victory over it and how evil pornography is and where it leads. God, what is with us that we can't come alongside this guy? We'll see. Well, that's not a real conversion. It's really not. You know what he's doing, don't you? He's just selling a bunch more of those albums. That's all he's doing. He's just moving into the Christian world now, and he's gonna fool all these Christians. Well, he ain't fooling me. You know why? I had one of those conversions, and I see it in his eyes. But I got to tell you this. I know other people who've had that conversion and fell away from it. So we need to make sure we continue to pray that his conversion is real and that God continues to use him. Can you imagine Kanye? You can't. Kanye West's, this is like Elvis getting saved. His impact in the black community, can we even begin to imagine?
And Coach, it truly is in Acts chapter 9 that is being played out here. This man, not only that, this is, I mean, we're starting to see this, but like when he came out for Trump, brother, he got lambasted and side-slapped left and right, up and down. And brother, and it's just caused him and his feet to go deeper and deeper to stand his ground. And people, we as the church, we're like Ananias. We're like, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. Do you realize what this guy used to do when he's talking about Saul? He says, man, he used to kill Christians. Well, oh, Coach, don't you realize what this Kanye guy used to sing and what he used to do? I'm telling you, it's an Acts 9 experience.
It is. Now, Dale, how long it plays out, we don't know. But, brother, I got to tell you, do you guys remember, I don't know if you remember this, remember Kanye West at the White House last year, in there with President Trump, wearing a MAGA hat, and how mad everybody was at him because he was a Trump supporter? Hey, folks, he wasn't supporting Trump because he was a Republican. He was supporting Trump because he'd had a rebirth in his heart about conservative issues, conservative values, stay away from pornography. People raise their families. Husbands, get married to your wives. Have a lot of kids. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from drugs. I saw a video of him the other day where he said something about some dog ass friends or something like that. And right away after he'd said it, he said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't use that word. See, that was a witness of the Holy Spirit in him saying, oh, come on, man, don't say that. I believe it's genuine. I believe it's real. And so Kanye West, a year ago, was already deeply into this conversion. This isn't like it happened 2 weeks ago. You understand? This has been going on in his life for quite a while. I saw Kim Kardashian go on The View and talk about with those wicked women around her in The View about her husband, Kanye, receiving Jesus and being born again. How have we become so, what's the word I'm looking for? How we become so, oh,
Jaded, Coach. Okay. The word's jaded.
Jaded, thank you. Jaded. How have we become so jaded that we in the church can't recognize? Hey, Jack, I saw a before-after picture of Kanye West. I don't know if you could ever find that, Connor. A before-after. You know, the Bible says the eyes are the window of the soul. And Kanye went from a dark-eyed, angry guy to a guy whose eyes are light and his mouth is full of smiles. Something happened to Kanye West. Go ahead, Raj.
Dale hit the nail on the head. Goodness, look at Paul. Two-thirds of the written by him.
And he killed
you. Radical transfer to Christ. I mean,
Roger, that's me. I'm not Kanye West, but that's me. I had that experience. You know why people can't accept it? They ain't never had it. They've been in church their whole life, and they're serving the Lord because their mommy told them they were supposed to, and they've never had that born-again, life-changing experience. Never had it. And Kanye did.
You know, some people have it. Some kind of gradually, but brother, I was that Saul, December 4th, 1989. I would rob from you. I would steal from you. I was facing 15 years in prison. I was a crack addict. I was a hardcore whiskey drinking person in December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night. Everything changed.
Then you're called to.
Maybe it's breaking up on my. I'm having audio issues today. Maybe it's just on my end. So if I sound like I'm not responding to you, I'm not hearing it. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Roger was saying something. Got cut off on it. Maybe it's on my end. Yeah, go ahead.
Breaking up real bad.
Okay, thanks, Serge.
Yeah, Coach, I'm on my phone. My computer's not working. But here's what I want to say: if we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we come to another person, and we can't witness the Holy Spirit in them, or witness it or not witness it, we are not very sensitive. We are not very filled with the Spirit, I should say. We lack the Holy Spirit because that's the witness. It, you know, I look at you and I listen to you and I witness God in you, and you witness God in me. Listen, when we have lack of the Holy Spirit in us and we're walking around and we think we're a Christian, or and we may be, and we don't witness that, it's not because the other person, it's because of us.
Mm-hmm. That's it, buddy. That's it. I wonder how many pastors in America, you stay with me a second. How many pastors in America do you suppose are telling people to have seven children? Who's right, Kanye or these 6-foot icicles telling people to not have too many children that you can't afford? Who's more in line with God? And why would Kanye even pick up that topic? Why would that be a big deal? Why would he begin to talk about pornography other than he struggled with it? He struggled with it. Why would he talk about abortion? And how finally he was saying the other day, we've been lied to, he said. We've been lied to. Those Democrats, they've been for killing off our people. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And we've been voting for those Democrats. And therefore, abortion is killing our people. You don't even hear politicians saying that. Does this guy have? Does he have less to lose than the average politician? Why would he be doing? They'll say, "Coach, it's just a great marketing program." Well, we ought to pick it up. Hey, pull up Randy's chart. Go ahead.
Hey, we don't even have pastors doing that.
We don't even have pastors doing it. We don't have pastors. Randy sent me this. It's up on the screen today. It's called the Law of Multiplication. Randy made this chart. Why don't you look at this? This is when each Christian disciples one new convert every 6 months, okay? You, talking about you, you disciple, you go get somebody, you lead them to Christ, and you disciple one for 6 months, and then you go get another one. Look at this. Year one, at the end of the first year, if you can follow the chart, you would have two. You would personally have be responsible for the conversion of two people in 1 year. After 2 years, it would be eight. After 3 years, it would be 32. After 4 years, it would be 128. After 5 years, It would be 512. Just you, one person doing this. After 5 years, it would be 1,000. Scroll on down, all the way down, Connor. They're getting the point. And after 15 years, 536,870,912. If each one of them, if each one of us Christians discipled two people a year, that's staggering, isn't it? Are we doing that? Are you being taught? Am I being taught in my church to do this? To go make a disciple? And I ask it again, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Do any of you have any disciples in your whole life other than your own children? Anybody else that you've converted? Because it's happening around the world. Christianity is exploding around the world. Did you know that the greatest percentage explosion of Christianity in the world is happening right now in Iran? Did you know that? Why? Is it because they're building big mega churches in Iran, having Christian radio? No, you're not even allowed to be a Christian. They're doing it underground, person to person, one to one, discipling, training, leading. That element is totally missing in the Christian church, totally missing. We think in America that I'm discipling people if I get them to church and they can hear my pastor preach. Oh, if they can just hear my pastor. And so we end up with Christian all-stars. I'll shut up a minute. Somebody prove me wrong.
Coach, in our nation, we made the church an idol. We have worshiped the church for how many years now? Long, long time. And we have people worshiping that building, and it God hates it. And I'm telling you, he's taking it outside the walls, and the church is going to be, the new church is going to be moving. It's going to be outside the walls.
Well, Randy, one of the things that Kanye is doing is, he said he was starting his own church because he said that the very thing about the religion and the legalism and the false thing that's going in those churches. And he's talking about people becoming Christians on their own and leading other Christians to Christ. I mean,
yes,
revolutionary, isn't it? Revolutionary.
Coach, we need to read an article. I found this yesterday, and it's in Charisma, but they put it out, and it's showing all the revivals going on in our nation right now. And I'm telling you, I never knew. I was dumbed down to it. But there's moves of God going on in pockets all over our country, Corpus Christi, Texas, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Florida, in California, in different places. And I'm telling you, the people are, when they go, they run to the altar and they cry out and their snot hanging down their face because they are repenting. And that is a move of God when you see that, Coach. And that's it's hidden, but it's here. We just don't see it.
So, Randy, why aren't we seeing more revivals in our own local communities?
We're too worldly.
Starts at the top, Coach. It starts at the top. It starts at the top. Those pastors ain't right. They're not a porter. And there you go.
Yep.
From the top down, Coach.
How can somebody explain to me how they can find Jesus in Iran, but we can't find him in Buckeye Lake, Ohio? Can somebody explain that to me? Can somebody explain to me when Alan Zephyr goes out and he holds his great big Bible? Alan, I'll bet you there are people down there in Zephyr Hills when you're out on the street holding that great big Bible out on the street. I bet there are other Christians that are making fun of you, aren't there, Alan?
I've had pastors come by that I know they were pastors, and when they saw me, their knuckles would turn white grabbing that steering wheel, bro.
Yeah, right.
So hey, rather Coach, than most getting of these most of these people in this article, and it's a really good article. Everybody should read this. It'll help. It'll give you hope. But all these people coming in, almost all of them know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about church. They know nothing about the system. They're out of that system. See, they're not in there trying to come out. These are people that are coming straight to the Lord.
Amen.
Like in Iran. See, they haven't been dumbed down for years with all the religious garbage. They're hungry and they're finding it. And this is what God's doing in our nation. I'm telling you, the people, I'm not against church. That's God's vehicle. I understand that. But I'm against the system we have in place.
Because we know this, the folks, we do know, hang on a second. We do know this, don't we, that the revival of the first century Christians was led by the most diabolical Christ hater of them all, Paul, right? We know that, right? God did not pick a guy that we would have picked. We wouldn't have picked Paul. I would not have picked Kanye West, okay? I wouldn't have picked me. But the rest have us sit around and watch these stars do the work that we're supposed to be doing individually. I hear people say every once in a while, they say, oh, coach, I just pray that somebody, that the Lord will send somebody across my son's path, that someone will come along and share the gospel with my son. I said, man, I hope that too. Whose son are you reaching out to? Whose son are you taking the gospel to? Some mother somewhere is praying that somebody will reach her son, and you're praying somebody will reach your son. There ain't neither one of you reaching anybody else's sons.
Amen, coach. How to preach.
I know it will. It's the truth. And we're wondering, where is revival? Well, come on. What did Kanye say? They're dead men. America's full of dead men. America's full of zombie Christians. They appear to be alive, but there's no breath of life in them. Churches are full of them. Man, oh, man.
Kanye will be, like I said the other day, Coach Conway will be able to call out T.D. Jakes, and it'll get some traction.
Yeah, well, we better pray protection for Kanye, because if he really was part of that deep devil cult of Hollywood, they ain't going to be very happy about it. They're not going to be very happy about it as he continues
Coach,
to find that out. We got to pray for his protection. Yes.
Hey, just like that, you had a show a long time ago, a while back, I See Dead People.
Yes, sir. See if you can find that video, Connor. See if you can find that video. Was that from the Matrix? I don't know what it was from. I See Dead People. Jared can help you find that. Dave, we need to look.
It's a Bruce Willis movie.
Dave, yeah. What does stumble a little bit? Are you kidding me? Haven't we all stumbled some?
How about that, Roger, huh? And he will stumble some. You know what he said yesterday? I saw one of the interviews yesterday. It's amazing. He told him, hang on right there a second, Connor. Kanye said last year, you sitting down, folks? Last year, he made $135 million, Kanye West said. $135 million. And was $40 million in debt. Now, you explain to me how that happens. But that's what he said. Numbers may be off, but pretty much the same. Made $135 million and was $40 million in debt. He said he started serving the Lord, a little bit of prosperity message, just beaming and smile, says, this year I got a $68 million tax return from the IRS. Big beaming. He said, I'm serving the Lord. Now, you always get finances as a result of it, but the Lord confirms with signs. Here it is, the sixth sense. This is what Kanye said. I see dead people. Go ahead, Jared, or Connor. Can't hear it. There we go.
I want to tell you my secret now.
You didn't start the beginning. Connor, you need to go back. We didn't get the beginning of that.
I see.
Maybe we did. Maybe this isn't the right one. Yeah, it's okay. We get it. This one's only 36 seconds where he says that. There's a longer segment of this whole scene that's pretty impactful. Somebody, come on in. Come on in. I got something else I'm going to. I don't want to shift gears yet. The Lord wants us to sit here a minute.
One of the things that I enjoyed when he was being interviewed on that airplane that kind of sparked to me, because that's what happened to me when I got saved, which I knew nothing of the gospel. And the Spirit of the Lord, and I mean, I didn't even know what the Spirit of the Lord is, and he said, you will preach this gospel. And I remember outrightly asking, I said, what is the gospel? brother, for the next 4 months, you couldn't get me off the couch reading my Bible. And so when Kanye began to answer and he said, what do you do at night? He says, I read. He goes, you read your Bible. And I want to say, listen, I don't put no light emphasis on praying, but many people in that position, oh, I pray to God. And the problem is you know where I'm going with this, is that they pray some wacky things, and they get, and I believe some, you can entertain some evil spirits just in prayer, but it's the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. Amen. And brother, I believe that is fine tuning him right there. The fact that he is reading his word.
Not only that, Dale, he's a linguist. In other words, he's a wordsmith, right? So as he reads that word, I believe he has the supernatural ability to understand it more deeply, maybe than the average person does, because his music is what it is because of his ability to put words together. So that is a gift. Like Martin would say that's a frequency. He has that natural frequency to be able to do that anyway. So that when he reads the Bible, he's understanding that maybe the average person isn't.
Proverbs says this: life and death are held in the power of the tongue, and they shall eat the fruit thereof. And brother, that's exactly it. His words is his life. So yeah, brother, he's now what? He's speaking the word. He's speaking life.
Connor, real quickly, for those who don't know, put up on the screen real quick, Connor, Kanye's a picture of his new CD or whatever they call these things. We don't even do CDs anymore. Jesus is King. Now, friends, can you just imagine that? Can you just imagine that Kanye West would, what, no matter what his music says, no matter what the individual songs say, that he would do a release of an album, Jesus is King? I'm telling you, you know what it is? We don't understand the depth of our own depravity. We just don't understand it. We just don't understand it. Otherwise, you couldn't laugh at that. Scroll down there a little bit, Jared. I'm sorry, just the bottom of that same page, if you can do it. I don't know if you can. Look at that. Look at that picture of Kanye with his hands upraised. Look at him. Folks, the eyes are the window of the soul. The eyes are. Something's going on inside that guy. Some of you need to have it go on inside you. Some of you just been faking and playing church. This guy's been rescued from the depth of darkness. He was asleep, as he said. He was asleep. And now he's awake. And he looks around and thank you, Lord. Sleeping people don't want to be awakened. They don't want to be awakened. Now, Connor, I don't know if you could do that. I don't know if you could go back and show some old pictures of Kanye West, the hateful black whatever he was, the music he was singing, the hateful music, the hateful and you just look at his countenance, you just look at his face. It's visible on his face that something happened to him. Something happened to this guy, man. Yeah, give me one down to bottom. It's going scrolling down. There he is. He was angry. Oh, stop it. My battery's low. I didn't have it plugged in. Oh, I don't listen. This is not Worship Kanye Day. Let's get to Robert Klaus on October 30th, Robert. October 30th. Halloween.
Give it to me. All right. Here we go. This all reminds me of Acts chapter 6, you know, when they had selected Stephen and Philip to serve tables. It says they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the Pharisees, Sadducees got all upset. These guys are untrained, uneducated. How can you do this to Peter and John? Amen. And they said, well, we were with Jesus, the truth. And then they saw the guy that was healed standing next to them. So, you know, if you're full of the Spirit and the wisdom, you're with Jesus Christ, and you're working in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit doing miracles, it really silences the religious skeptics.
You know, okay. Robert, hang on a second, Robert, because that scripture, I believe, the scripture says that others saw that they were unlearned men and mm-hmm. knew that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they saw the transformation in these guys, right? You got to be able to see it. Go ahead, Robert.
Yep, they saw it. Okay, October 30th says, the devil is not fighting religion. He's too smart for that. He is producing a counterfeit Christianity, so much like the real one, that good Christians are afraid to speak out against it. That's Vance Havner.
We are afraid to speak out against faith, aren't we?
That's right. Okay, the title of the devotion is Imitate and Meditate, Don't Capitulate to False Religion. We need to practice both imitate the godly and meditate on the word. Know Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Interesting, it says in Christ are hidden. We got to dig it out, search out the wisdom.
Amen.
Follow him who is the way. Preach him who is the truth. Imitate him who is our life. Meditate on the written word of God, which is our food.
Mm.
There's the verses. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's all what the mind is fixed on. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It is through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures that we have hope. Like Conway said, he reads the word of God, and that's a fundamental. That's important. And then we see in the Old Testament, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. In this way, the Christians can avoid being deceived by New Age, novel, end-time religion, demonic doctrines, and avoid unnecessary discipline by God's hand. Amen. Yet many today fail to do this. They don't walk on the narrow, straight path. But they said, we will not walk in it. God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Mm. So what would a true watchman of God proclaim against such a people today? He would surely not say that prosperity and peace and the best life now are here for the grabbing. He would not lie saying there's no need for a correction. He would not promise that mega churches, mighty mantles, magnificent anointings, and super apostles will regain dominion and bring in the kingdom like the New Age Apostolic Reformation, New Apostolic Reformation movement does. A watchman who has eyes to see and ears to hear would warn and proclaim God's announcement, which is, therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I bring disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. We see the same thing happening back in the Old Testament we see happening today.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new.
Nothing new under the sun. What's the takeaway today? What's the takeaway? The same spirit that renewed the life of Kanye West, it can do it to you. If Kanye West can use albums to go make disciples, what about you and I? What did you do yesterday to make disciples? What are you going to do today to make disciples? Look at Randy's multiplication chart. When we look at your life at the end of this year, how many notches are you going to have on your belt? I hate to use that illustration. How many people will you have been the disciple? What if you, a year from now, make the decision that you're going to disciple two? And you're going to teach them each to disciple one. Do you see the power of magnification? Not going to church. No, 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 no. No. Walking them, showing the kingdom, taking them into the kingdom, walking them through the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, meat, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Wow. Crazy stuff going on around us. What a time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.